You're listening to the NewChurches.com Q&A podcast. New Churches is an online hub for the mission of church multiplication.
That's a hub.
Stop interrupting me.
A hub.
Stop.
I've always wanted to be a hub.
Here you'll find the resources and training that you need to get started,
yes,
as well as a community of church planning and multi-site experts to help you thrive.
You need to update that. You've said the same thing like five podcasts in a row.
Well, yeah. It's true, though.
It's true.
Mission,
but it is true.
You know, vision leaks.
Wow. Thank you, Andy Stanley. We love that.
So go to newchurches.com and download the exclusive State of Church Planning Research Report for free. My name is Daniel Im, and I'm here with Ed Stetzer. Well, today's question
is they didn't know when I blurted already.
Well, today's question is from Jacob Kurian P, who is a church planter in India. So let's listen
really,
to this question.
In India? That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
All right, let's do it.
Hello. I'm Jacob Kurian. I'm doing church planting in India. We have started a church about 6 years before in our place, but we are not seeing much numerical growth in our church. So I want to ask you the questions that, can you give some checkpoints to evaluate my ministry and find out the reason for the slow growth of our church? Hope you understand my question. So just suggest some checking points to know the slow growth of our church. Thank you.
All right. Well, so Jacob was, you know, he's a church planter in India, and he's wanting to know if there are any checkpoints or growth barriers trying to solve the problem of slow growth in his church.
Well, you know, we've joked, Daniel, about our cultural differences and nuances. You being a Canadian, Korean by background, and we've joked a little bit about Canada and the U.S. I mean, this
and you being a New Yorker,
you got a problem with that. but this is so far afield that neither of us have served in India. You, of course, served in Asia, but culturally, just a huge distance.
Yes. Yeah, definitely.
So, but what I would say is, when we look at resources in the English speaking Western world, which is where my focal point of missiology study has been, we do see that people tend to cluster around the 35 barrier, the 75 barrier, the 125 barrier, the 200 barrier. Mm-hmm. Those are not my numbers. Those are kind of widely recognized as sort of being cluster points where people get stuck. Now, the reality is, though, it's different in different contexts. We did a little research on Filipino church planting, and we've seen that they cluster at different places. So, but here's what I would say. If there are some universal places that we can help this planner, it would be that people tend to cluster around organization. And so and the reason 35, 75, 125 are there is those are places where if you're 35 people, you can pretty much pastor everybody. But if you're 75 people, you need to have a few people helping you, a couple people who are kind of assistant leaders. Yeah. But if you're 125, you need to have some leaders who are working alongside of you. And if you're a 200, you got to have some leaders of leaders, which is, we're working on this resource on breaking the 200 barrier. And that's so much as a leadership issue. So what I would say is we want to be cautious, my brother, to tell you, and thank you for your question, but we want to be cautious to tell you that we know those barriers there. But let me say universally, that if you can raise up leaders who become leaders of leaders, who then can raise up other leaders, that's going to almost always be a part of the breakthrough process. But there could be other things. There could be sociocultural things. There could be organizational. It could be dysfunction or functions in your church that are working well. So it's a big question, and I'm sorry I don't have a strong answer to you other than to say organizationally, leaders at different levels are key.
Yeah, and by sharing that universal principle, I mean, that definitely is a starting point that's going to help Jacob. The other thing about that universal principle, especially when you look at the cultural dynamics, let's say in India, that's highly influenced by the caste system, right? India-wide, the one thing that we do have to also be aware of is as you develop leaders, how are your congregants viewing you? And how are your congregants understanding the position of pastor? Is there this big divide between clergy and laity? Because if there is, that's going to prevent you from developing additional leaders and giving them additional responsibilities.
Yeah, part of that's what we call power distance cross-culturally. We were just doing some research in Brazil, and the greater the power distance between perceived leaders and those that they lead, the harder it is to raise up more leaders. Yeah. So there's so many questions. And for example, and we haven't even addressed this, is it South India that has a different faith tradition than North or Central? So all these things point us to certain universal realities. But at the end of the day, what I would encourage our planner friend to do, what's his name again?
Jacob.
You can edit that out, right? Mm-hmm. So what I would encourage Jacob to do is to get into a mentoring community, to learn from others, to read some literature about church planting in India, which there are vibrant church planting focal areas in and throughout India, and to help ultimately, Jacob, for you to learn from people who are on a similar journey who've maybe gone before you. And I think that's one of the realities. I mean, we can sit here, and both of us have good, strong experience in church planting, but ultimately the friend that's going to be of more value to you is someone who's planted a church in a similar people group in a similar context.
Yeah, that's good. Now, for the rest of our audience, Ed, you talked about the barriers, 35, 75, 125, and 200. Can you talk briefly how to navigate? So let's say you're at 35. What does it look like to navigate beyond that?
Yeah. Well, again, it's not just leadership. Sometimes churches are at 35 because they're, I don't know, they're not preaching the gospel well, or churches are at 35 because people go in and they feel like they're aliens going into an alien environment. So there's a thousand things. But at its core, when it comes to leadership, if you're going to have a church 35, you can do everything. It's one big family. It's one big happy family. What you got to do is stop doing everything and get two people to do some other things. And so maybe that's a worship leader. Maybe that's a small group leader. And so now you begin to multiply leaders. And so as you get to that point, there'll be things you make changes to, right? You make changes to the worship. You make changes to the structure. Here's what you want to get to the past through 35, where you are not touching everybody spiritually.
Yeah.
But instead, maybe through your teaching, your preaching, but instead there are others who are doing that very same thing. So sure. Then moving forward to 75, you actually, and actually the language I use is volunteers or workers. So get past 35, you need two workers or volunteers. Get past 75, you need a couple of leaders. A couple of leaders and maybe 7, 8, 9, 10 workers or volunteers. So, someone working with the kids, teaching the children, being part of the worship team. Then to 125, and this is when it starts getting hard. You need a broader leadership base. You might have 6, 7, 8 leaders. We give more into this in the Breaking the 200 Barrier seminar we're creating. But the biggest challenge is going from 125 to 200. Because at 200, there need to be people in your church who are completely leading areas of ministry. Mm-hmm. For example, in our church plant, we have life group coaches at both of our campuses who are running the ministry of life groups. They are leaders of leaders. I mean, they're not just the life group leaders, but they're the leaders of the life group leaders, and they are not on the staff of our church. So that's, as we broke the 200 barrier, that's how you get through that to the other side. So that's not the only thing, go into that much more depth in the resource we're developing, but that's a key thing.
Yeah, if you look at the State of Church Planting Research Report that we just released, it's fascinating to see how different factors like a culture of multiplication affect the growth and the size of the church. Can you speak to that a little bit,
too? Yeah. I mean, a culture of multiplication, we're talking about throughout the life of the church. We're not just talking about a multiplying church. Matter of fact, if you go to multiplication and you haven't built in a culture, people are like, what are you doing with all our people?
Yeah, it wouldn't work.
So, but something I learned from the Wesleyans, I was speaking at their national gathering, and they asked me to speak on church multiplication. So I was ready to talk about church planting. And they said, no, we want you to talk about everything within the church multiplying. So I stole this from them. Sometimes I credit them. Mm. But we should multiply disciples, groups, ministries, and churches.
Yeah.
So, but it starts at the discipleship level, right? If people aren't coming to Christ in your church, that's a multiplication issue. You're not multiplying disciples. And then groups. We want to build culturally in. We recently had a groups leadership meeting at Grace Church. And we talked about do you have an apprentice so that you can send that person out and start a new group? Multiply ministries. Are people being encouraged through some sort of pathway to discipleship that they would actually get to the place where they're multiplying new ministries? And then out of that flows new churches. Now people right here hear that and say, well, I don't have to plant churches and I got to I got all these other issues I got to multiply first. No, you can do more than one thing at a time, right? So think about the Acts 1:8, Judea, you know, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the uttermost parts of the earth. It's not do Judea first. It's not go to Jerusalem first. So the same thing is true here. So start casting a vision for multiplying churches, ministries, groups, and disciples, and then cast a vision for disciples, groups, ministries, and churches, but put that DNA in the life of your church.
Yeah, because as you grow, the natural result is going to be multiplication. And in order to do that, we need to start somewhere, right?
That's right.
So that's the beauty of that framework.
That's right.
All right. Well, I hope you enjoyed today's episode. If you have a question about church planning, multi-site, or multiplication, please go to newchurches.com on the sidebar that says send voicemail. Click that, and in 45 seconds, you can introduce yourself and your question. If you're on your mobile device, you can go to speakpipe.com/newchurches, download the app, and submit your question that way as well. Thanks again for listening in, and we'll see you next time.